I'm David. I'm delighted to be joining this open source design DevRel, and I'd like to thank the organizers for putting this together in a remote setting. And so I joined QuickPad in November 2019 as the designer on the team. The project had already been public for 3 years at that point, but like so many open source projects, it had no coordinated design input, I would say. So I was brought on to improve the user experience, which, as I will explain and the title suggests, I think basically boils down to various different forms of communication or improvements to the way the product and the team communicates. And so in this talk, I'll briefly present what QuickPad is, and then I'll show you a few examples of the design work that I've been doing and the forms that this communication takes. So by the time you see this video, this should be our official logo. We are currently in progress of preparing a rebrand, but this being a design dev room, I thought I would use some of the new designs. QuickPad is a collaboration suite that is encrypted and open source. And so the key selling point is that the encryption happens in the client, the browser. And so you can synchronize edits to a document in real time with multiple people, but the server knows nothing about the content of those edits. Everything is encrypted. The project is made at XWiki SAS, which is a French company that has been making open source software for over 15 years. And on QuickPad, we're a small core team of three, Aaron McSween, the project lead, Jan Flory, the privacy engineer, and myself. And Ludovic Dubos, the CEO of XWiki, also helps to promote the project, do some administration work, and also contributes to the code. We've been public-facing since 2016. Everything, server and client, are under AGPL. And so we run the flagship instance at QuickPad.fr, which has about 80,000 weekly active users. And there are 500 plus other instances that we know of, but we don't know of all of them, so that should give you a sense. So I'll do a quick presentation of the software itself and the apps. So we have a drive, self-explanatory, to hold your documents, folders, shared folders, etc. You can do rich text documents. This is an integration of CK Editor. We have a code and markdown editor with live preview that uses CodeMirror and Mark.js for the preview. We have spreadsheets using OnlyOffice that is integrated into our real-time collaboration. We have a Kanban board that uses JKanban. Slides that I'm using now to present to you, which is also CodeMirror and Mark.js. And then a whiteboard that uses Fabric.js. And finally, probably the least loved app, at least among the team, is Pong, which is one of the oldest apps. At the moment, it's not very functional because basically, if you have edit rights to the documents, then you can also modify other people's votes. So, well, let's say it's suitable within very trusted circles. But we have a full rewrite of this planned and funded as part of one of our research projects. So this will change soon to be much more functional. We're thinking about alternative to something like Google Forms, for example, to collect data and answers. So to finish off the quick presentation, a few details on how we're funded. We're all XWiki employees, but CryptBat is kind of financially self-sufficient within the company. We find our own sources of funding. At the moment, the breakdown is basically between different sources. So it's the subscription. We have paid subscriptions on CryptBat.fr, which basically give you more storage and faster support. We work on research projects for specific features and improvements. These are mainly EU research projects from the NNet Foundation and NGI Trust, currently ongoing. And then we also get small additional grants, for example, this time last year from the Mozilla Open Source Support. We also received subsidies for the French government that pay subsidies for young PhD graduates, for example, which is my case. So I'm subsidized for 2 years. And then finally, we have an open collective with donations. And so at the moment, the proportion of these are roughly one-third research projects, one-third subsidies, and one-third subscriptions and donations. And in the next 2 years, our goal is to become financially sustainable on subscriptions and donations alone, so not needing the research projects and the subsidies to stay viable, maybe still do a few of them, but not needing them to fund our roadmap. So let's dive into a few features. One major change this year in terms of design was to make share and access central in the toolbar and on the platform in general. This may look like a small change, but sharing was hidden away behind just an icon, and then a lot of access options were hidden in a three-dot menu, which was basically a drawer for everything that didn't have a clear place. And so I reworked the toolbar, especially because there were some new features giving more granular options and more options also, which made the need to make these two more prominent and obvious really quite important. So these two features are, for example, safe links and access lists. Safe links is the fact that if you copy the link to a document in your address in your browser address bar, it will not work if you're not logged into CryptBat and if you don't already have the document in your drive. This is for security reasons, to prevent the leakage, for example, if you're sharing your screen or if something, your browser, for example, is syncing your browsing history across devices, potentially these URLs were giving access to your content. So we now have safe links, but that makes the need to find and still be able to copy the link when you do want to give access via the share menu. This made it really important for that to be really easy to do. Another option in the access menu that we've introduced this year is the access list. So this gives you the ability to explicitly say who can access the document. So for example, even if you're sharing a document through a shared folder or a shared team drive, but you only want a specific list of people to be able to access, you can add them to the access list, and if an access list is enabled, it trumps all other ways that the person might have access to this document. So another point that I've been looking at across the platform is the kind of language that's used in the UI, and I've been aiming to remove as much as possible technical terms like server. And so previously we talked about removing a document from your drive. Documents are then deleted after 90 days if they are in nobody's drive. And the difference between that and deleting something from the server there and then, And so I've introduced a distinction between removing or moving to the trash and destroy. So destroy is now, with a new icon, meant to communicate removing from the server right now, but without saying the word server. As a side note, this is one of the few buttons that we've introduced this year where you have to click again to confirm. I'm quite curious what people think of this. If you have any opinions, I'm curious to hear them. This is something I've actually taken from Sublime Merge, the Git client. So one design highlight for me was the Kanban redesign this year. My first opportunity to really plan and implement really visible changes to one of the apps. So the Kanban app before was not super useful. It was a bit clunky. There wasn't even horizontal scaling. You cannot see it here, but it used to have like a kind of masonry scrolling that you don't expect from a Kanban board. So we completely rewrote that and introduced horizontal scaling, titles with collapsible markdown body in the cards, tags, a new color palette. And actually what you're saying here is the coordinated result of two steps. So one, the app itself below the toolbar, and then the toolbar redesign at the top. And these were done actually at separate times due to the release schedule. And this is something I've really kind of come to appreciate, is how you have to, or you may have to strategize and hold different parts of your app in separate bits of your head as you're planning them to be redone at different times that fit the release schedule and eventually end up in the result that you want. An interesting instance of communicating about things is new details we introduced to the loading screen about what is being loaded. And so this affected another area of CryptPad. Basically, the first tab you open on CryptPad needs to load all of your documents, your drive and also team drives. Team drives are like additional drives that are shared between users. And since everything needs to be loaded at the start, we used to have a limit of 3 teams for performance reasons. So if you had more than 4, including your own big drives to load, that would be really long. But now with these details added to the loading screen, we have actually increased the limit to 5 and leave more room for users to basically negotiate the trade-off between the number of teams and the loading time, which they can now see how long their teams are taking to load. And so the trick, I guess, with an encrypted product is that you don't know very much about your users. We do have some very rudimentary telemetry that you can opt out of, but actually a lot of valuable feedback has been coming through our integrated support tickets. This has taken some getting used to for me in terms of answering questions and following people through problems. But I'm finding actually that this was one of the most important parts of this communication that is taking place, and it really helped recently that Jan Flory refactored this UI and help us to sort and prioritize things here. By the way, this is a picture of a pretty good day considering. So in terms of explaining the product, support is super informative, but of course it does get repetitive. So a major undertaking this year has also been this documentation. Thanks go to Yann Jolin, our intern during lockdown one, who really helped get this started. And so we have one guide that is complete, the user guide, and then there are admin and dev guides that are coming soon. And this is also on Weblate for translations, as is the main platform as well. And so I'm now getting into the habit of maintaining this alongside the main code base, doing releases as we go. And you can see here as of this recording that this is still not using the new logo, but hopefully that will be fixed by the time you see this. Which brings me to the identity and the logo itself. That's something that had to be managed over several months, because that's not really something we get directly funded to do. But as a designer, of course, I think it's important for the product, and especially as we try to grow our user base. So this was the homepage that Cryptpad greeted you with before. Personally, I don't necessarily recognize myself with think this would be something for me, and I'm already someone that's IT literate and interested in free and niche software. So I've simplified a lot of things, trying to make it more welcoming and basically simple, more understandable, easier to get what it actually is, and little bonuses like unifying the icons, etc. I've also started using a bit of illustration as another mode of communication for the sometimes quite complex things that go on inside of Cryptpad, and also to like playfully kind of nudge people to do the most important thing when you create a Cryptpad account is to remember your login and password, because we can't do anything if you lose them. And so to finish, I just want to mention the next big challenge for me this coming year. All of this communication, whether it's written, visual, UI, etc., is all well and good, but it's no use if no one or people can't read any of it. And so we've had so far one accessibility audit that found quite a few issues, and I think these are blockers. Overall, the accessibility of Cryptpad remains poor, which is partly due to things like iframes being used for security reasons, but that makes accessibility more complicated, and also testing for accessibility. So this was one user on Mastodon calling us out a few months back, and I think they're completely right. Further in that thread, they actually generalized to free software. And I think as we try to advocate for alternatives to the big platform, obviously we have to take accessibility seriously if we wanna be successful. I think if anything, alternatives should be on the side of more support and more care than the big platforms. So I got some training this year. I'll admit this was not something I was very aware of before joining the team. But it's something I'm really looking forward to diving into. I won't fix all the open source software, but at least for Cryptpad, I'm hoping to bring it to a AA standard this year. So that's it for me. Thank you very much for listening. I'm looking forward to any feedback or questions or discussions you may have. And I'll post the link to the Cryptpad documents for these slides if you want to see any of the links or get in touch. Thanks very much.